The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry. "Behold the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they were off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. So the way that an ancient Jewish wedding used to work is you would have a period of betrothal, like Joseph and Mary had, where it's kind of a higher degree than an engagement. We do engagements now in modernity. So this, you would actually need a divorce to separate from. So this is, there is a full commitment there, but it's kind of like the first part of the commitment. They call that the betrothal. You have about a year period where you're betrothed to your soon-to-be husband or wife. And then when the wedding comes itself, there's a 7-day celebration. So people would take off work. They would anticipate these weddings, and there is just 7 straight days of celebrating the wedding. Before that celebration takes place, there would be a procession where the groom would be on his way to meet the bride with this kind of train of people. And so this is kind of this big event. And then they would get married in a religious ceremony. And then the celebration would begin. And so that's kind of the scene or the context of the parable that we have today with the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins are bridesmaids. That word maids comes from the word maiden, which is right there with the word virgin. They basically mean the same thing. It's an unmarried woman. And so the Lord shares with us the example of those who are wise and those who are unwise. And the way that I'd like to talk about this parable is with regards to our death. Us facing death. And it's one of the main ways that Jesus wants us to understand this parable, is in the context of our own mortality and meeting him. There's this interesting aspect to this parable that's like, okay, you know something's going to happen, and you're still unprepared. These virgins, the 10 virgins, they all know for sure that this event is going to happen. The groom's going to come, and they don't know when, but he's going to come regardless, and they're not, half of them are not prepared, half of them are. It's like, if you know something's going to come no matter what, why would you not take the steps ahead of time in preparation? Now, a similar phenomena occurs with death. As a priest, I have the great privilege of being present at a lot of deathbeds. Even in the short time that I've been a priest, which is a little under 10 years, I've been at a lot of deathbeds. This is a great privilege for me to just be with people in the last moments of their earthly life. And in my experience of being with people in their last moments, I will say, undoubtedly, some people are ready to die and some people are not ready to die. And that's just the truth. Some people are not ready to die. There's almost a surprised element that this is actually taking place. Now, we can kind of understand this. Death is one of the primordial fears that we have as human beings. It's kind of underneath, a lot of people would say, death is underneath all other fears. So every other fear is a fear that in some way is built upon death. Death is the great unknown. But if we all know we're going to face it, no one's getting out of that. No one in here is getting out of this. I mean, maybe the Lord will come, the second coming in our lifetimes, but what I'm saying right now applies to all of us. What Jesus is saying applies to all people throughout all ages. We are all going to die. It would be good and beneficial for us to take steps of preparation. The scary words of Jesus in this parable are when the virgins are knocking on the door, the foolish ones, the unprepared ones, and he says, who are you? I don't even know who you are. I'm not letting you in. What does it mean to prepare for death? What it means to prepare for death is to be in communion and familiarity relationally with Jesus. If Jesus feels very distant, if he's very distant from us, it's not going to change when we die all of a sudden. We're going to have the exact same relationship that we have with him immediately before we die. And so if we know him in this life, when we're knocking on the door, when we die, Jesus will say, hey, I'm glad you're finally here. I've been waiting for this. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Because I knew you. I've known you for years. I knew you every single day. We talked. I was with you at Mass. I was with you in daily prayer. I was with you when you were in your tough times. I was with you when times were good. And so this isn't some kind of weird difference than before when you were living. You're here. We were friends then. We're friends now. Come on in. That's what we want. That's what we're looking for. That's preparation for death. That's an ongoing relationship. The reason the virgins can't share their oil is because you can't share that. That's just you and Jesus. That's what you have. It is what it is. Our relationality with every individual that we have relationality with, if we have a friendship with somebody, that's our friendship with that person. I'm not going to be able to replicate a relationship that anybody in here has with their spouse. That's a relational history with relational dynamics that are those two people's. That's a whole history together. That's why they can't share their oil. We can't share that. That's just for us. And so as we're getting to know him on a daily basis now, we're preparing. We do that by the way that we live, and we do that through the life of prayer, the sacraments, etc. The famous wide receiver from the NFL, Jerry Rice, who is undoubtedly the best wide receiver ever to play the game, and some people would argue the greatest NFL player ever, the greatest football player, period, was not really the most athletic guy, but he was a very prepared guy. It was just in his bones to be ready to play football. It was just who he was. Steve Young, who he won his second, Steve Young was the second quarterback that Jerry Rice played with after Joe Montana. Steve Young gave a story about 2 days after the Super Bowl. He and Jerry Rice had just won a Super Bowl. Jerry Rice had one of his best games ever. He absolutely burned it, and they had just won. Celebrations were on. Steve Young goes back to the practice facility to pick up some paperwork so they could go on vacation and just kind of chill out for the next couple of months before, you know, you start getting ready for the next season. Said he came to the practice facility and it was just dead quiet. Obviously, a couple days after the Super Bowl, the season's over. Things went well, and he just saw one single person as he gazed outside at the practice field. And this person was running routes by themselves. It was Jerry Rice, 2 days after the Super Bowl. Already just in this mode of preparation. It was in his bones. So for Jerry Rice, the reason I bring up that example is because Jerry Rice didn't grimace every single time he had to go out and practice. He loved it. He enjoyed it. It was a part of who he was. The habit and the practice of being ready. That was who Jerry Rice was. That is a great example for us as Christians. Is we just want to have these things in our bones. We have these things in our bones. This isn't some last minute scramble. Oh no. You know? No, I'm ready. I've been ready. And in Christ, we can have that confidence. Lord, we ask you to help us to follow the example of the saints throughout our history and their words of wisdom for meditating on death, remembering death, and not being afraid of it because we have our trust in you. And we know that you will deliver us from death as we are friends with you. Help us to develop and foster the friendship with you and make it our top priority throughout our lives. Please help us to not fill our lives with endless distractions that keep us away from the things that actually matter, really the only thing that matters, which is our relationship with you. Help us to not be strangers when we knock at the door after we die. Help us to be familiar friends. Through Christ our Lord, amen. And let's take a few moments in silent prayer just to listen to and speak with the Lord in our hearts.